Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Nun Hey. We are starting the two dots on daf Nun Hey, roughly 10-12 lines from the top of the Umid. We're about a quarter down the Umid. Starting on a brand new Braisa, turn it up on. After going through two blot of Agadita, now we come back to our Mishnah and the beginning of our Perek, where we said that everybody who lives in a city gets the benefit not only of 2,000 amos from his home, not only 2,000 amos from the city limits, but you even get an extension beyond the city limits, depending on the physical configuration of your shtot, of your city. And we're going to have a braisa which is going to give various examples. You have a whole bunch of pictures, some of them which are a little bit easier to follow, some a little bit more difficult to follow. And then there's going to be a gemara that will explain the braisa. It's all going to be very gishmak, and it's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Tana Rabban. Ketzin ma'abr nesa'arim. How are we ma'abr? The word ma'abr, as you remember, we had a machloikis, whether it's with an ayin or with an aleph. The bottom line is it means to extend the cities beyond the normal city limits. So for instance, if you start off with a city which is arucha, it is rectangular, kimoshihi, then you leave it the way it is without adding or subtracting. The Gemara is going to ask, pshita v'shteitzach, you don't add. If it's normal, if it's nice and rectangular, then no problem. We're going to talk about that soon. Agula, if it's a round city, then oisin lo zaviyos. Then you give it the benefit of its corners. So here you have a picture on the right-hand side in the Rashi. You see that the city is circular, and around the circle we add a square. And as a result, now you have a greater amount that you're able to walk on Shabbos. Because if it was just a circle, then around the circle you'd have to go in each direction maximum 2,000 amis. However, where you have the zavios, the zavios means that you have the four corners, you only start counting your 2,000 amis not from the circle. You only start counting it from the square. So of course you can see with your own eyes that the distance between the circle and the square, that could be a large difference. Of course, depending on the size that you're talking about. So you're adding, that's what the braisa means, that you get the benefit of the additional corners in addition to the regular round city. Mirubas.
Some places where they made a cheshmi, I think it's a third or a quarter more.
Right, stimmt. Mirubas, if it happens to be square, ain't oisin lo zaviyos. Then we don't give them the corners. And of course, the Gemara is going to say, what do you mean? Of course, if it's square, then the corners are built in. We don't have to add. The Gemara is going to talk about that shortly. What happens if the city is not drawn in a rectangular type of form, but on one side it's wide and the other side it is narrow? So now if you look at the next picture in the Rashi, you can see that on the left-hand side is the city nice and wide. On the right-hand side, you see the city gets smaller and smaller, almost like a pyramid, almost like a pyramid shape. Okay, so now how do you go and draw the imaginary lines for the city limits? You see on the top, you see such an imaginary line, such a dotted line, and you see on the bottom, and you see on the side, meaning that we fill in as if this triangle wasn't a triangle, as if it was a full square, and you give them the distance not from where the triangular city ends, but much, much further up and much, much further down, you give them all the additional space to be able to walk on Shabbos. So someone who lives at that narrow point in the top of the city over here, he can walk not only 2,000 amos from where his city ends, but from that imaginary line and further yet another 2,000 amos. And that's again the lashon of the ibur, like an ishim uberes, that you give an extra stomach, so to speak, or the aver, if you dash it with an aleph, you add additional hands and legs to the city so you can walk even more. What happens if your city was a normal city, however, sticking out of the city at a pigum? Pigum means that there was at least one house, or the Braisa says two houses, that were not part of the normal rectangular shape of the city. So for instance, you see now the next picture, where you see that most of the city happens to be a regular, normal, square, fine, guttenweil, but there's a pigum. Pigum means that there's something sticking out at the top, which is a house or two houses or whatever, then even though it's only one house, and this could be a huge, huge city where there are 10,000 houses, makes no difference. You go and start your tchum from the final house sticking out. But that doesn't mean that if you go from that house, you have 2,000 amas from that house. But all the rest of the city, you have to have 2,000 amas from their houses, which would mean that if you go from that house, you have slightly more. Let's say the house is 100 feet long, so you have your city 100 feet, and then you start your 2,000 amas. It means the entire city have those additional 100 feet, because we make an imaginary line from where that house ends, and you make that line all to the entire side of where that house happens to be. So you get the entire length or width of that house, you get the benefit of an extension throughout the entire direction, that entire side. So again, in this picture, for instance, where you see the pigum sticking out on the top, on the left-hand side, you see that there's a chut that goes down. It's an imaginary chut on the left-hand margin, goes down, and that gives you all that additional space from where you're going to start your tchum on Shabbos. So that's a tremendous benefit, naturally, for those that want a larger space to be able to walk a longer distance.
Why isn't it squared off then?
But I mean, in a sense, you do square it off.
Doesn't continue.
I'm sorry, once again?
Marav, from the bottom part, it doesn't continue to the dotted line.
No, L'chayit it should continue there too. L'chayit should, yeah. L'chayit should. Yeah, L'chayit should.
You see a dotted line here? I don't see one.
On the left-hand side. You see one on the left-hand side? You see one?
I see it says
It's so imaginary, you don't even see it.
Yeah. I don't understand what
in our Gemara there is. I don't know, maybe yours doesn't have one. Over here.
No, this is
I know
this
you're asking. He's asking. Here. He's asking over here.
From here, you have 2,000.
Well, slowly. The chut begins over here. Is the chut down here?
Yeah, because the house is there. Goes through there.
Tell there. So from here, you go on another 2,000.
Right. Exactly. Right.
So, but you don't have this imaginary line that's coming down. It's so imaginary.
Here it goes in. So it also goes through here.
So,
also.
So now Rav Dovid says that you have on the bottom as well.
Use your imagination.
Use your imagination. Yeah, you have to be something.
These are not great pictures. You have to.
All right. Yes, Rabbi Cohen. What's the problem, Rabbi Cohen?
People use imagination.
It's also a good question. Okay, anyway, we want to increase and incentivize people to use creativity when they're learning. Anyway, continuing on, L'chayit Rabbi Dovid is right, you should have an imaginary. It's so imaginary you don't even see it, but L'chayit it should be on the bottom as well. And continuing on the Gemara, Hoysa suya kiminkeshes. Okay, the kiminkeshes, that makes things a little bit more challenging. Kiminkeshes means like a bow of a bow and arrow, or a bow of a rainbow. In other words, it's a U shape, an upside down U, and you see again in the Rashi such a picture, an upside down U. Oy kimingam. Gam is a Greek letter, and in our case, Rashi says it's kimin kaf gefufa, which means that it's like a langachov, or if you want, it's like a dalit, or an upside down L, whichever shape you like best. And again, you have a picture in the Rashi, underneath the keshes, you see like a dalit form, or resh form, a squared off resh, right underneath it. So what do you do now? Royin oisa ki iluhi malaya batim machatseirois, umoidin mimenu ulhalon alpayim amat. So now, since, let's take the keshes for instance for a moment. The keshes is a like a bow. So now, if you didn't have the benefit of these extensions, then wherever you happen to live, we're not focusing on the upper part. The upper part also should be squared off. So there should be imaginary lines there too, because it's not worse than a regular. If the whole thing was round, so we had the picture on top that you have to go and square it off on all sides. So imagine that you have an imaginary line on the top and on the right and on the left to add zavios, to add corners on the top. But we're not focusing on the top, we're focusing really on the bottom. That a person who lives in the city and wants to go southward, bottomward, towards another town or another place. So I would think that you'd have to start 2,000 amas from his house, or wherever he happens to be, in that rainbow, the Kamash Malon, that you only start 2,000 amas from that imaginary line on the bottom where it says Chevel, you only start the 2,000 amas from there. But we'll see later in the Gemara, it's not so simple. We'll see Mechimulu later. And the same thing as the Kimin Gam, here you do see the benefit of Rav Dovid's point that they added both the left-hand imaginary line and the bottom imaginary line. You have a Chevel on both sides.
And you straighten this out.
And you straighten it out, you make it into like a square shape, and therefore from there you can go 2,000 Amis in each direction. So you get a lot of extra extension as a result. Okay, so this is the end of the Braisa, and we start again the Braisa Omar Mar. Arucha kemoshihi. We said that if it's rectangular, then you use it the way it is. When you're talking about a circle, you're talking about all types of funny shapes, then you have to square it off. But if you started over the rectangle, well, what's the chiddush? Of course, k'moshi. It's not square, it's rectangular. What's the difference between a rectangle and a square? Square, of course, is exactly the same on all sides. Rectangle means one side is much longer than the other side. Ma'udah se melitin lo pusya aurka. I might have thought that maybe the din of Ma'abrin is that you make all cities into square shapes. And therefore, if you happen to have something which is rectangular, what you have to do is you have to make the smaller side, the shorter side, wider.
Yeah, this makes sense. Yeah. Why, if everything else is square, why not this be a square?
Exactly, that's what I would have thought. Kamash Malan, no. If it's rectangular in shape, that's good too. You don't have to have it dafka square. Rectangular is also good. Okay, then we continue on the braisa. Mirubas, if it's already square shape, ein oisin la zavias. You don't have to go and add additional corners. If it's already square shape, what are you going to do? You square off its square. You make it square. It's like a square shape, however, it's in the form of a star instead of in the form of a normal square. In other words, if you look at the picture on the left-hand side and the Rashi down below, you see that you have ear and it looks like a star-shaped, right? On the left-hand side. Rabbi Lucas, you're looking on the right. You're looking on the right. You're looking on the left. It's like a diamond. Oh, doctor.
A diamond could be pretty square, you know.
Anyway, so the point is that I might have thought that we have to square it out so that it should be berbu oilam. Berbu oilam means that it should be letzofayn and ledorin, because this way it's not a normal shape. It's a kind of it's a beautiful shape. It's diamond shape. And so therefore, I would think you have to go and add the square around it, just like we added the square around the circle. Add a square around this diamond shape. So no. Just leave it the way it is. It's beautiful the way. You don't have to improve on this diamond. This diamond, Baruch Hashem, azui shein. It's glowing. Okay, next case. That you had one or perhaps two houses sticking out from all of the other row of houses, then instead of starting your line from all the other houses, even though the houses could have been 10,000 houses, and only two are sticking out, one or two are sticking out, which are protruding further than the row of houses, makes no difference. You start your imaginary line not from the 10,000 houses, but from the one or the two additional houses. Right, the Gemara, hash the bayis echanamis, shnei batim yiboy. Why does the bayis have to say 1, 2, 5, 10? Just enough to say one. Madach, one, you add this imaginary line, certainly if you have more than one. What happens if the two houses, one is on the left and one is on the right, or one is on the top? So I might have thought, how many imaginary lines can you draw? I would think only in one direction. So if there happens to be a house which is protruding on the right, and there's another one on the bottom, or on the top, or on the left, I might think you're only going to give one extension and not multiple extensions. Kamash will not know that you add an imaginary line in each direction where you find an extra house which is protruding outside of the normal row of house.
In all four directions.
Even up to all four directions, yeah. Continue with the braisa. Hoisa asuya kimin keshes oy kimin gam. If it's like a bow shaped, or if it's like that dalid shape that we saw in the Rashi, which is really the Greek letter gamma, which the Gemara calls gam. Royin oisa ki iluhi maleya bat bechatzeros. What you do is you fill in the empty part. In other words, in the case of the bow, anything below the bow, the inside of the upside down U. That whole inside you look upon as if it's full of bat and bachat seirois, and therefore umoided mi menul alon alpayim amma, and therefore you start measuring your 2,000 ammas from the final imaginary house. You don't have to talk about filling it up with that.
Vusuk tigaba. None of this in Greek. Delta.
Delta.
Alpha, beta, gamma. Delta.
That's number four. But we're talking about the gamma, which is number three. Alpha, beta, gamma.
It's shaped like a triangle in Greek, Mr. Zilber.
Yeah.
It's a triangle-shaped delta.
As a delta is...
It sounds like...
Oh, that's okay. That's fine, the sound. But the third letter is alpha, beta, gamma. What's the form of the gamma?
It's like on top of Menachos, it's like they make the shemen, right? That's how we learned it. It's good.
Are you happy with this dollar shape?
I'm very happy because you saying a delta is a delta in Greek is a triangle.
Right. Right. In America, it's an earlines, but in the time in Greek, it's like the fourth letter instead of the third letter. Zayigit shkoyach. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara now. So now we have that the bow is full of bat v'chatzeros and moedin imena, and from there you measure 2,000 amps. Okay, so far so good. Now Rav Huna comes and he limits this halacha that we just spoke about the bow. How does he limit it? And he says, take a look at the drawing of the bow for a moment, and you'll see that at the bottom right side of the bow and the bottom left side of the bow, where you have in the picture chevel, which means it's chut. Why in the other pictures it says chut and here it says chevel, I'm not exactly sure, but it doesn't make a difference. But the point is that from the right-hand side to the left-hand side, how wide is that distance? Is that distance 100 feet, 200 feet, 1,000 feet, 5,000 feet? So until now, it didn't make a difference. You just go and draw your line and finished. Who cares what the distance is from the right to the left? Rav Huna says, no, not so simple. Rav Huna, if you have such a bow-shaped city, if between the two ends, the two buttons, the right and the left, you have pochas me'abas alofim amma, it's less than 4,000, it's 3,999, moedin lo min ha-yeser, then you do count or measure from the yeser. Yes, this is the first time we're using this term this morning, but yeser is when you have a bow of a bow and arrow, then the bow itself, that is called the keshes, and the bow string, the string which you pull back to be able to shoot the arrow, that's called the yeser. So therefore, it says our Gemara, if from one end of the right side to the left side, if from one end to the other end, if there's less than 4,000 amais, then I agree with you, fill up the entire hollow of the bow as if it's full of batim b'chatzeros, and start... I'm sorry, everything okay?
There was a picture in the...
And it says 3,999?
Right, yeah. Right.
You see how brilliant the author is. He already knew the Gemara before. He didn't even get to it, and he knew it. Anyway, so it says, yes, and then you take go and measure from the yeser, from that imaginary bow string, even though there is no such string, but we act as if there's such a string, and you go and count from there 2,000. You measure from there 2,000. V'imlav, however, what happens if from one end to the other end you have more than 4,000 amis? You have 4,001, you have 4,005. Then moedla min hakeshes, and you, in fact, you do not fill up the entire bow with batim mechatzeros, but you have to measure from the keshes itself. In other words, you don't get the benefit of an extension. And the obvious question is, what difference does it make whether it's up to 4,000 amis or less than 4,000 amis or more than 4,000 amis? So Rashi explains the following way. Rashi says, let's assume that you live on the bottom right-hand side of the keshes. Okay, so under normal circumstances, before we get into our Gemara about adding and subtracting, all you have is you have the right of tchum of 2,000 amps. What happens if he decides he doesn't want to walk towards the bottom, he wants to walk towards the left-hand side, right? He lives on the right-hand side, and he wants to walk towards the left-hand side. Let's assume that from the right to the left is 5,000 amps. He'll never be able to get all the way to the left-hand side because he can only go 2,000 amps. And even if he were to put an Erev over there, he'll get 4,000 amps. He's never going to be able to get to the left. Unless, if he wants, he doesn't have to walk straight. He could walk through the entire city. In other words, he can go and walk upwards, just like Columbus, to go and get to India. He wanted to go left, he wanted to go west, to go to get east, you know, you get macht faket. So here too, if you want to go from the right to left, you can go upwards instead of going downwards. You go, okay, enough for a minute. So the point is, that's if you have 5,000 amps. What happens if it only happens to be 3,000 amps? Okay, so 3,000 amps, he still can't get to the left-hand side all the way. He can only get 2,000 amps. If he didn't make an Erev, he gets stuck after 2,000. But what happens if there's a guy that lives on the left-hand side that wants to meet with him and greet him? So then he also walks 2,000 amps in the other direction. So then they have 1,000 amps, which is muvla. Muvla means that it's overlapping. So within the 1,000 amps in the middle, both Reuven from the right and Shimon from the left, they could sit together and have a party and dance and daven together, learn together, because they have an overlap. So that's the point. If the tchum from the right hand side overlaps with the tchum of the left-hand side, then, says Rav Huna, then we add that imaginary line, and then you get the additional 2,000 amis towards the bottom that you can go and walk further in the tchum. However, if it's not muvla, then you treat it as if it's two separate cities. That first city ends with its tchum Shabbos at the end of 2,000. The left-hand side is also a separate city, so to speak, and ends at 2,000. So therefore, if it's up to 4,000, then you allow for the merging of the two, because the tchum of the right and the tchum of the left overlap each other. Okay. Then you have your imaginary line. However, if it's more than 4,000... Sorry?
But at the top there is less than 4,000. Then it would be.
We're going to talk about that later on in the Gemara. We're going to talk about that later. He's incorrect. But here at the bottom.
We don't want to get the square in this case.
I'm sorry,
not allowing to square off.
We're not allowing to square it off. Because we consider the two, and we'll see more about it in the Gemara. We're not finished yet. You consider as if it's almost two separate cities. You have the right city and you have the left city. It's so far away from one another that maybe a total different culture shock. Maybe on this side you find whole Stramlich, and the other side you see only Litvisha, which without any
strong,
exactly two separate communities.
There's nothing in the top. In the top of that bow, there's no houses. It's just
the entire bow from right to left. You see the small little
houses. The houses are only in the
It says in the top. With the top, there's also houses. So it's tops all along the circumference of the city.
The city itself is full of houses. In fact, they're really
they stuffed. Show pictures of it here.
Exactly, there are a lot of houses. That's why you see those little zeros in there, which are houses.
In between the top, there both. The word keshes, there are no little zeros. There's some letters there.
Because the word here is there.
So that's also it's also imaginary. Yeah, but the masa, the city. See, if the person wants to walk from the right to left, he can. If he walks around the whole city, just kidding. Yeah. But if he wants to walk straight from right to left, if it's more than 4,000 amis, he cannot walk it because it's not within his tchum any longer. Unless, of course, he puts an eight. What's his governor?
Measuring from his place where he lives, we always measure from the
city.
The end of the city is there. 100%
governor.
That's the end.
So on the right hand side, on the bottom, that's the end of the city. If you don't forget about this, Ma'abram
has to live exactly on the border.
No. If a person is living towards the bottom of the keshes, either on the right hand side or the left hand side, without the additional extension, you have 2,000 amis from wherever his city limit ends. So if he lives at the end of the city, on the bottom of the city, so he has 2,000 amis to the bottom and to the right and to the left and up. He has 2,000 amis in each direction. So now when he wants to walk to the left, 2,000 amis, if he can reach his chaver, either because it's only 2,000 amis to the other end, or even if it's 39999. But since there is at least a muvla, meaning that there's at least an overlap between my tchum and the tchum of the other side, then we merge the two tchumen and we merge the entire city that's one city. Since it's one city, we make such a chut, we make such a yeser, we make such a bowstring on the bottom. However, if it's so far apart, we consider it to be two different cities, and we don't give them the benefit of that additional yeser. If it's made such a bow shaped, if between the two ends on the bottom, this then I agree. You go make a yeser, you make such an additional string, and you can go 2,000 amis from that string and further. However, if it's more than 4,000 amis, then if you want to be able to walk, then you have to go all the way from the top, from the keshes. In other words, a person, a moshel, that lives where it says ear, at the top of the upside down U. He lives all the way on top. He can only go downwards 2,000 amis. He might not even reach the yeser, depending, of course, how long the two sides are on the right and on the left. If the right and the left are very, very, very long, you're going from the keshes directly from the top, going straight down, you might not even reach where the yeser would have been, because it's more than 2,000 amis away. Of course, what you could do is walk to the right and to the left of the city itself. In other words, instead of going straight down in the middle, go down to the bottom, and then you'll have more. Okay, but that's a separate story. So that's v'imla moidele min hakeshes. Frank Tigmara, that's what Rav Huna said. Ah, you mean Rav Huna? The same Rav Huna said that chuyma se'ir she'nifritza. if you started off with a city that had a beautiful wall, and that wall unfortunately got a big pirtza, then the amount of the pirtza would have to be not more than 141 and a third. What does all of that mean? You start off with a regular, normal wall. I don't know if you all have pictures about that. You have in the right-hand side, you have a picture down below, the right-hand side. See, it says choyme, choyme, it says poritz down the middle. You see that? But that's according to the maskana of this picture. According to the havamina, the top part of it is connected. It's only poritz on the bottom. It's not poritz on the top. Okay. So therefore, it was originally a square, and it had a nice square wall for an alazaitin. Unfortunately, the Hurricane Sandy came about, and it broke through the bottom wall. So now, the question is, if you look now at the bottom wall, it also is like the end of the keshes, in the sense that on the right-hand side, you have the end of one part of the city. On the left-hand side, you have another end on the other side of the city. Do you also draw such an imaginary line to connect those two ends where there used to be a wall? There used to be a wall here. The wall never fell down. So now go and plant there or draw there an imaginary line. That's what I would say. Says Rav Huna, yes, you can make such an imaginary line as long as the pirtza is not more than 141 and a third. Where does he get 141 and a third from? We've already spoken about before that every city, you can always go beyond the city limits if you have another charva or another house within 70 and two-thirds amos, then that is considered to be an extension of the city. For instance, what happens if your city limits finished? There is no protruding anything. It's a regular square city and everything is fine. And there happens to be one house which is beyond the city limits, which is 500 feet away or 1,000 feet away. Would you can extend the city vita to that house? Only if it's within 70 and two-thirds amos. Where do we get this 70 and two-thirds from? We already had it before, because the Sasayim Chatzar HaMishkan, that if you are talking about the Mishkan, was Sasayim was 50 by 100, 50 by 100 is 5,000 square amas. Therefore, if you take 70 times 70, you get 4,900. If you take 70 and two-thirds, say 70 and two-thirds, you don't get 5,000, you get 4,994. But the point is, it's very, very close to 5,000. That's why you have the 70 and two-thirds. Aha. What the Gemara is telling us is that automatically, in addition to the 2,000 amas, you get another grace period of an additional 70 and two-thirds amas. We'll see that in Rav Huna in another moment. The Gemara is going to talk about that in a moment. So you get 2,000 plus the 70 and two-thirds. Aha, okay. So now, each one of the sides, since unfortunately there was this big hurricane that broke through the wall, so now you have to see whether or not the Gemara is going to deem it as if we are calling the right side and the left side also like two ends of the rainbow, two cities, unless there's less than 141 and two-thirds. Why? Because, I'm sorry, 141 and a third. 141 and a third, of course, is 2 times 70 and two-thirds, right? 2 times 70 is 140. 2 times two-thirds is four-thirds is one and a third. Check. 141 and a third. Aha. So therefore, since each city automatically gets that additional grace of the 70 and two-thirds, so if each side had 70 and two-thirds, and it's less than the combination. It's less than 141 and a third. Once again, it's muvla, it's overlapping each other. However, if it's more than 141 and a third, in other words, it's 150 or 200, so therefore you have 75 in each side, or 100 in each side, so then it's already two separate cities, they're not muvla one or the other. In the case of the Keshes, Rav Huna said that the Muvla is a Cheshbon of 4,000. You have 2,000 and 2,000. Is it Muvla? Is it only 3,999 or is it 4,000 or more? Here we talk about the 70 and 2/3 plus the 70 and 2/3. So where's Rav Huna coming from? Why did Rav Huna before talk about 4,000? The 2,000 and 2,000. Here he's talking about 141 and a third, which is 70 and 2/3 plus 70 and 2/3. Why is it a totally different case? But the Havamin is good. Yeah. I know. You don't know if the Havamin is good. Okay, Baltimore is there.
This is a question of Chita. And of course, it's not there's no Tzuras HaPesach. Maybe it wouldn't even help.
Yeah.
But what about the Batan? Isn't really two separate cities have to do with the houses?
Uh-huh.
So in this picture, you could see what of these things. Who cares how the Pirtz is part of it.
Right.
We're interested in how far the bottom houses are from each other. since there's no mechitza.
So the bottom house on the right side and the bottom house on the left side is 141 and a third.
How do you know that?
Maybe
the wall. The picture is not broken, not the house.
You can't see there's 141 and a third. I mean, it's, you can't see the dimensions.
2,000 amas of each other.
Was
the question is, even if there are 200 amas, the appearance was 200 amas apart.
Right.
The hurricane blasted everything.
Right. Even if it's 200, yes. 200.
It's still 2,000 amas overlap.
That's the first Ravuna, the Sukta Stira.
Yeah, but my point is that it could be that we have a few thousand amas between these two. It was a huge wall around the whole thing.
Right.
So it could be these bottom houses are more than 4,000 from each other.
If they were, then it'd be certainly be more than 141 to 30.
And if there's no wall, if there's a pit.
Absolutely, absolutely. It could be that the wall was originally 10,000 miles long, but there's a pit in the middle. So says Rav Huna, in the case of the keshes, if it's more than, we're not finished here by saying, in the case of the keshes, if it's more than 4,000, we do not add that imaginary line. In the case of the choyma, if it's more than 141 and a third, we don't add the imaginary line. So Rav Huna, the chastira, is that 4,000 is 141 and a third.
There's three walls, is good. Is a complete
Fasuk is Zichigit.
Yeah,
three walls.
Even if there are two cities, it shouldn't matter.
It's Kasha, we don't, where is the Kasha?
It's the tale of two cities. Let me get back to it. Amar Rav Barula, loy Kasha. Kan beruach achas, kan mishnei ruchois. Ah, now we understand the picture. The picture doesn't have just appearance on the bottom. It has a picture on the top because the drawer, the artist of the picture, already was going according to the maskana. Therefore, we're now splitting Itak into two cities. You have the right-hand city and you have the left-hand city because the appearance that goes from one end to the other. Oh, two separate cities. So then if it's 141 and a third, yeah. But if it's more than 141, nished. By the caches, it's still one city because you don't have a pizza from both sides. You only have the pizza from the bottom side. The top side is still connected. Then you have 4,000 amas.
And even if it's two cities, if there are 200 amas of pizza on both sides, don't the two cities have Tchumen overlapping and they conglomerate to one city? Like New York, like Manhattan, and like Queens and Brooklyn, let's say. I mean, it's all one. It's legally two cities, two boroughs, but they
your svara is excellent. But for purposes of adding the ibur, the imaginary lines, we only add the imaginary lines if it happens to be muvla of 170 and two-thirds with the other 70 and two-thirds. If it's 4,000, we don't allow for that kula of the ibur of drawing the imaginary line unless it was full and sholim on the top. Then the appearance would be measured to be 4,000 amas, like you said. But if it's porous through and through, we only measure 141 to 30. I'm sorry? Oh, we have only one pierce and you have taka 4,000 amas. Absolutely. 4,000.
Okay.
And that's therefore the case of the city and the case of the keshes are identical. They're exactly the same case.
It doesn't make a difference how big the pierce is.
It doesn't
as long
make
as it's a real pierce, I'll be dead.
Oh,
it's like the wall is not there. So it's not like there. The opening in the keshes.
Exactly.
That's all I was.
You're doing fine.
At.
You're doing beautifully. Therefore, if it's only open on one side, you get 4,000 amits, or 39999. If it's open on both sides, it becomes like two separate cities. Then you only get 141 and a third. My kamash molan lechoyer. What's the chiddush? The noisin karfif lezev the karfif lezu. The Gemara uses the term karfif as a shorthand form to say 70 and two thirds. The Gemara calls it a karfif that you go and give a 70 and two thirds for one side, 70 and two thirds for the other side, and that's why if it's together 141 and a third, if it's bigger than that, you don't have the benefit of the ibur of the imaginary line. Frey the Gemara who amar Rav Huna chod zimna. Rav Huna already said this halacha about the double 70 and two-thirds. Why did he have to repeat it here? Where did Rav Huna say this halacha before? Did not. We learned in the Mishnah. Shteit in the Mishnah, noisn in karfaf li'ir divrei meir. Every time a person is measuring the 2,000 amis, first you give 70 and two-thirds, and then you start counting your 2,000 amis. So therefore, whenever we've learned until now, you get 2,000, you get 2,070 and two-thirds from the final city limits. That's the add a karfif li'ir divrei meir. Chomamayimrim li'omer karfif ela bein shtei ayaris. That you get the additional 70 and two-thirds, it's only if there are two cities which are not far one from the other, and you want to combine them to make them into one city for purposes of Tchum Shabbos, then you're talking about the Karf of the 70 and 2/3. In other words, the Chacham hold you do not give 70 and 2/3 normally to your regular city, only if you have twin cities which are one next to each other, you want to combine them and make one city out of them. If there's only one Karfif in between, you can merge the two for purposes of one large city that you can walk the entire length and breadth and only start your 2,000 Amis at the ends of both cities because you've merged them together. So the Inyan of Karfif, a 70 2/3, is between two cities. Now that's what Ramein Chacham said. Now on the Chacham itself is now a machloikis. The Itmar of Una Omar, Karf of Lazu, the Karf of Lazu. Chibarab Omar, a noisin al Karf of Echad Lishneim. Chibarab learns the Chachamim Poshit. Leomu Karfif, you have one Karfif between two twin cities. Two twin cities, you want to merge them. If there's less than 70 and 2/3, one city. More than 70 and 2/3, two separate cities. Aha. Okay, says Rav Huna 9. When the Chacham say the Omu Karfif, they mean Karfif for each of the two cities. City on the right, you give 70 and 2/3. City on the left, you give 70 and 2/3. So therefore, you have two Karfifim, 141 and a third, all together. That's the same Rav Huna that we had in the Omer Aleph. Frank Timura, why is Rav Huna repeating himself twice? He's both being redundant and repetitious, and he's saying it again and again. So why does he have to do that? I'll tell you why he has to say it twice. The Ashmin Hachamishim Dehavale Tzad Heter Meikara Aval Hosam Emolai. What's the difference between the case on the Omid Aleph and the case here on the Omid Beis? The Omid Aleph are talking about that it was originally one city, but unfortunately the Hurricane Sandy came and Mecca Apirza through and through from top to bottom and now made two cities out of it. Ah, so it is unfortunately a terrible calamity. The walls collapsed and Nebuch. So now we have two cities, but originally was back at one city. The case in the Omid Beis was that it was originally built as two separate cities. Two separate cities. Dallas and Fort Worth, right? Two separate cities. They're twin cities, one next to each other. Balamas are the two separate cities.
I mean, the wall was going, the same wall was in both cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Two cities don't have, they have separate walls.
Yeah, no, but when did it break the wall? It was a long wall which went on
the Omid Aleph. It was one long wall.
One city.
And now it broke through because of a terrible hurricane or whatever, and it broke through both on the bottom and on the top. So now it became by design. So now it looks like two separate cities, right? The right city and the left city. Two separate cities. So that's on the right, on the Omid Aleph, we're talking about it was originally one, and now it's split into two. On the Omid Beis, we're talking about that it was originally two, and we want to merge it into one. In both cases, says Rav Huna, that the shear is 141 and a third. Now, what's the reason I need both cases? So, Tumur Tzrich. The Ashmin Hochef would only say over here. What means over here? On the Omid Aleph, Mishum Dehavalei, Tzad Hetami Kara. Because originally it was all one city. So it makes sense to give as much leeway as possible and say, come on, be a little bit more generous.
They are going to rebuild it anyhow.
You know that.
Once they rebuild it, then we go on to the next case in the Brice, and then that case is finished.
So why can't I imagine an imaginary still the building is going on?
Because they might not build it.
It was there.
You find, the Gemara says in Bava Basra that if you want to go and build a new shul, you can't go and demolish the old shul until you started building the new one, because we're afraid, oh, let's go and demolish and then we'll build, and then they demolish and then they don't build. So you see that you have all the plans with the blueprints, with the engineers, with the construction workers, with the building fund, and Nelam Sinishdok Hagelt. If they start a building, then you can demolish.
You don't see things like these, Lamas and Williamsburg, the new so called Sathmanibs Madish, is really sitting there 15 years.
With a big sign.
Because they can't make up who will control it.
Okay, that's a separate story. Let's talk about Shulam, let's not talk about those things. Anyway, let's get back to Agamar. tricha. In our Gemara, since originally it was one city, we want to continue thinking about the two cities as one, so we give a kilo 141 a third. But there, where you started over the two separate cities, after all, they built two separate cities, maybe only if it's in 70 and 2/3. In that case, because without the 70 and 2/3, things become a little bit tight. What does the Gemara mean? So Rashi explains, what's the reason why the Chachamim gave, besides the 2,000 Amos, 70 and 2/3? You need that 70 and 2/3 to be able to do certain normal needs of the city. Meaning, people that live on the border, they have to be able to park their cars. You have to have at least some sort of small parking lot, or put their bicycles, or to hang their horses, or their carriages, or other things. Just like we talk about a chotzer in front of Batim, so also the city limits, for purpose of the city, you also need a little bit of an extension beyond the city limits for people to use. They hang out their laundry on the line and things of that nature. So therefore, every city needs 70 and 2/3. So Kedai Techamina, when you have two cities together, city one on the right side needs 70 and 2/3, and the city one and the city two on the left side needs 70, so you need 141 and a third altogether. There is no problem with that you need additional space. The best Arai is, explains Rashi, originally there was a wall here and there were batim here that was filling up that empty space. And apparently they lived comfortably in that area. And therefore they weren't concerned about the fact that you didn't have extra space of 70 and 2/3. They didn't have any extra space at all. It was originally flush, satisfied, everything was full. Yeah. And they were satisfied because they had room somewhere else. Maybe they rented a special space down lower Manhattan.
Yeah, the other side.
Exactly, the other side, the right, the left, upstairs, downstairs, in the basement, they had extra bins, whatever it was. So therefore, now we shouldn't give them anything more than the barest minimum. So we'll give them 70 and 2/3, because you always give 70 and 2/3, but not more than that. So you have to have both the Omid Aleph and the Omid Beis to tell you that you give twice 70 and 2/3, 141 and a third, all together. Bye. So that was the end of the Tvai Rafunas. Frank Dimar, the Kamahava Ben Yeser Lekeshes. Now we're not asking the distance from the right to the left, or the left to the right on the bottom of the keshes. But what we're talking now about is measure from the top part of the keshes, where Barry thinks that there are no houses there because the word ear is over there, but that's where the top, the uppermost, northernmost houses, all the way to the bottom of the keshes, in other words, to the imaginary line, to the yeser. There really is no yeser because that yeser is kenitl dummy. That yeser was taken away. It's not there. But the point is that from the top till the yeser, how much space was there? So until now, whatever, twice a mile, 5 miles, 3 miles, 10 blocks, 8 blocks, we didn't talk about it. We only spoke about the right to the left. We didn't talk about from up to down, from north to south, but now we're going to talk about it. How much space is there? Only until 2,000 amas. Only until, in other words, that if from the upper part of the keshes, all the way down towards the yeser, if there was more than 2,000 amas, the people on top already are going beyond their tchum shabbos, we're not going to give them the benefit of that additional yeser, of the additional extension. That makes tzuris. So in other words, what you're going to have to do is everybody who lives in the keshes can have to measure 2,000 amas from the end of his house or the end of that wall which is next to his house and go 2,000 amas to the right, to the left, up, down, backwards. But you're not going to get the benefit of the yeser on the bottom.
You could always go through the actual city.
Yes, and the Gemara is going to talk about that. But if you're walking straight from top and you're going southward and there are no houses, no chatzeres, nothing, you can only go until 2,000 amas. If you make an eruv, you can go 4,000 amas, but you might not even get to where the yeser might have been because it might be quite long from top to bottom. It might be 10,000 amas, it might be 5 miles, whatever it happens to be. But the point is, you only get the benefit of adding a yeser if the city is relatively short in terms of from the top to the bottom. If it's a long, 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 long city, but there's a capital upside down U, a langa, langa, langa U, then from top to bottom is going to be more than 2,000 amas, you will not get the benefit of your imaginary line, according to Rabba Bar Rav Huna.
So that means the people living on the ends of the keshes They don't have the imaginary line to go 2,000 amas.
When you mean the ketch, mean the ends mean on the bottom?
Yes.
That they can go 2,000 amas in each direction anyway.
But at some point...
They always had the benefit of 2,000 amas. The problem was the people who live all the way on top, they don't have the benefit of 2,000 amas because if they walk from their houses straight down, not to the right and to the left, they walk straight down, then it gets to be, till they get to that imaginary line, it gets to be 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000.
At some point, the two ends of the keshes are we said less than 4,000.
Yeah, it's narrower and narrower. So we're going to talk about that. We're not up to the end. But at the point that we're speaking now, it says, what's the maximum that you can have between yeser and the keshes and still add your yeser, add your imaginary line? Rabbi Huna Omar, alpayim amma, 2,000 amas. So if the distance from the top to the bottom is more than 2,000, you do not get the benefit of the imaginary line, you only get the benefit of the 2,000.
Nobody gets the imaginary line?
Nobody gets the imaginary line. The people who live in the bottom don't need the imaginary line. It's only the people on top that need it, because they want to be able to walk in that bottomwards direction as far as they can, without going on the right and on the left. They want to just go straight down. Straight down, they can only go the 2,000 numbers, they won't be able to go more than that. However, even if it's more than 2,000, we will allow you to go and make the yeser down below. And now, since more Amar Abayi, Kabas the Rabbi Reidrav, Rabbi Baravuna Mistaver. The second svara is Lechoyra more Mistaver. This is the svara that everybody's been mentioning, Barry and others, throughout the last few minutes. And that is the person, if he wants to go all the way to the imaginary line, he doesn't have to go straight down where it's empty, where there are no batim bechatzeros. He could go to the right and he can go to the left, and then automatically he'll be able to walk that entire distance because that's all part of the town. There are batim all along. Rashi says the osi derech batim. That answers your question, Barry. That those little circles that you saw in the Rashi and Amad Aleph, those were houses where people lived. Up and down, right and left.
Zigzag.
Oh. But the point is that he will be able to get down below by going the right and on the left. So therefore, even though it's more than 2,000 amas from the top to the bottom, could be very, very long. It makes no difference. I'm just not going to go straight. I'm going to go to the right and to the left. Since I have that ability to go to the right and to the left, so the Chum say, you know what, we'll make the imaginary line under all circumstances, regardless of the fact that it's more than 2,000 amas. Sehr gut. Okay, now, what Rabbi Blum brought up before, that we said according to the first man, the Yomar, that if you have less than 2,000 amas, then that only if it's less than 2,000 amas do you get the imaginary line, but if it's more than 2,000 amas, you don't get the benefit of the imaginary line. So Rabbi Blum said before, but bear in mind that do you have to go all the way to the top, or maybe there'll be some space where they are closer than 4,000 amas, and so therefore you'll be able to merge the two. So now, we haven't spoken about the 4,000 amas here in the Amud Beis, we only spoke about it on the Amud Aleph. But remember, it has to be a space of the 4,000 from the right to the left, and the left to the right. So Rashi points out that this inyan that we're speaking about is where there is no 4,000 amas between the right and the left, so that therefore we would have made the imaginary line, and now we look from the top to the bottom to see whether it's more than 2,000 or less than 2,000. Because obviously, if from the right to the left is more than 4,000 amas, we're not going to make the imaginary line anyway, according to Rav Huna. Says Rabbi Blum, and says the top Tosfos, it's not only look at the bottom, taka, the bottom two ends are more than 4,000. But since it's semicircular, as you keep on going higher and higher, at some point there will be less than 4,000 amas from the right to the left. I think that was your point. That at some point, as you keep on going higher up on the keshes, from the right to the left, you'll be able to wave to your guy on the other side, where now it's less than 4,000. Hey, great, that's wonderful. So then you can make your imaginary line over there. In the Chanam, you can't make it all the way down below because it's more than 4,000. But higher up in the semicircle, it'll be closer and closer.
You pull the more.
Exactly. It's like an arch. It keeps on getting closer and closer and closer. The closest part, of course, is all the way at the top of this arch of this keshes. Yeah. Where Mamish merges, so it's all one.
You make it tighter.
Exactly. So that's the point over here too. Don't only talk about the imaginary line at the very bottom of the keshes. You could have a situation where you make an imaginary line in the middle of the keshes, from the right to the left.
And that's where it starts to sink.
And that's where the city will start. But of course, this is only according to the Mandi Yomar that says that you can only get up to 2,000 amas. According to the Mandi Yomar that holds you get from the top to the bottom anyway, then there's no problem. according to Mani Yoma, that says you only get up to the 2,000 Amis, so therefore he'd only be able to walk 2,000 Amis. But what happens if when he's walking 2,000 Amis, Baruch Hashem, at that point already the two sides of the city are fairly close together. After all, he's coming down from on top. On top it's mamish together, it merged. So now as he walks down the 2,000 Amis, it arches out, but maybe it's still not that far apart, and it's less than 4,000 Amis. So if it, until his 2,000 Amma line going downward, if from the right to the left you have less than 4,000, you can go and draw your imaginary line over there, even though you cannot draw it all the way down below, because down below it's more than 4,000.
So wherever there's an overlap between both sides, that's where you draw the line.
Oh, it does. As long as you still have your overlap less than 4. See, that's the top choice. From where it narrows, the ancient dalat alaf, where you don't have 4,000, like gara mi'ilu nita lo yisei shel mala. It's no worse than if you remove the top part. Okay, anyway, ayin shem betoises, and we continue on the Gemara. Ho yusham gedudiyois gevoyois asoret vachem. What a gedudiyois. My gedudiyois. I'm Rav Yehuda. Sholish machitza she'en alein tikkun. So the Gemara is quoting now back from our Mishnah. In the Mishnah we said that ketz ma'abrin, that if you have all types of funny structures, which are either indented or they're protruding, we look at those that protrude the most and the farthest, and then we start our imaginary line, then we go and draw the line, a room and a room, the city, in a square or rectangular fashion. But the Mishnah said, even if there are gedudiyos, you also include those as part of the city. What's a gedudiyos? What does that mean? Says the Gemara, we're talking about a charva. Charva means that it was originally a nice, beautiful home, but never, because of Hurricane Sandy, never had blew a couple of walls down. So says the Gemara, Amr Yehuda, as long as it's Sholish Machitzes, even she'ein alein tikra, Rashi says, the kolchke and she'esh alein tikra, even though unfortunately the roof fell off and one wall fell off, as long as you still have three walls, it's considered to still be a house, and you include that as the extension of the city, and you only start measuring your imaginary line from after that gedudia. However, if it only had lemushel two walls without a tikra, then it would already be bottle, it would already be considered gunish mit gunish. It has to have, I'm sorry, was up there?
Devil was saying it's like three walls of a sukkah, and I said
define the space. But remember, the sukkah, you have to have the schach, you have to have the tikra on top. Here you don't have the tikra, so you have gunish. Okay, see, I showed you the tikra. Me boilu, so the Gemara asks a shayla, this is a Rabbi Yirmiya type of shayla, a boilu, shtei machitza v'yeshla in tikra mau. Instead of doing about three machitzas without a tikra, what happens if you have two walls with a tikra? Is that also enough for a gedudia to go and include it within the city limits to make your imaginary line? Toshima. So the Gemara goes now and gives a whole bunch of cases that were expanding on our Mishnah. The following are considered to be structures that we would add to the city limits, and you only start your imaginary line of the tchum after these structures. So we start with nefesh. A nefesh, in this case, doesn't mean a soul, but a nefesh over here means a matseva. Like the Gemara says, ein oisim nefoshes tzadikim, divrayim hein hein zechroinim. So here too, the nefesh over here means a matseva. Sheyesh ba arba amis al arba amis. Now this is a big matseva, like an oil. And in fact, Rashi says it has to have a mokum ledira. And that's what our Mishnah also used when it spoke about the Gishorim and the Nefoshes. It said that they had a dira there. So somehow, this oil was not only an oil for Nebuch Nefoshes and the Shomis that passed away, but even Lebedik and Nefoshes. So that's that oil. Sheish Arba'am Sal Arba'am. And the same thing, yeah, like a watchman.
No, I saw it in Europe, they had like a house in the Pesach.
So we're going to have similar over here too.
We have the oil, don't you have an oil over a cave?
Rabbi Cohen, Mal Lekoyim Bebesach
Chorus. I don't go, I only watch, I read the paper.
The Hagesha, and if you have a bridge, the Hakever, Sheyesh Ben Beis Dira. The Kever is similar to the Nefesh, that you have a Kever or Kvarim, which have a Beis Dira, they have such a guardhouse next to it. Or a Beis HaKnesses. Or you can have a Shul, which is at the outskirts of the town, but you only count it as part of the town. Sheyesh Ba Beis Dira L'Chazen. That in fact there is a Beis Dira, although we say Chazen, it really means the Shamas. The Gemara, when he uses the expression Chazen, it means the Shamas. The reason why it was called a Chazen is because the word chazen comes to the word choze or machze, means to show. He would go and show the oilam when we start davening, when the schedule is, he'd show them where you daven in the shul. There's like the modern shuls that they announce, we're up to page 181, and in the linear, and the other sidurim, it's 182. So this is all
the along with the kids, it says.
Yeah. And Shteyden Svarim, why is a bal tefillah? The Gemara always refers to the bal tefillah as a shliach tzibur. Why do we call him a chazen? Because it says, shvisi Hashem lenegdi summit. When a chazen davens, when anybody davens, you should always have in mind the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in front of you. The name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is the Gematria 65. Aleph Dalet is 5, Nun is 50, Yud is 10, 65. Chazen Ches Zayin Nun, Ches is 8, Zayin is 7. 7 and 8 is 15, Nun is 50, is 65. So Chazen, he has to have that mal of the Shvisi Hashem that he's constantly thinking of, the Rabbi Yishlam. That's where the Chazen, because in a Mulna Seifa, that's why it's called a Chazen. Anyway, so therefore, if you have a shul that has a Beis Dira, it has some sort of extra room for people to sleep, like the Shamus would sleep there, then it's included as part of the city limits. If there's nobody sleeping there, it's got to be a Beis Dira to be part of the Shtot. The same thing applies to a Tumah, to a church. That the Galach has a place to sleep there in the church. Otherwise, it's not part of the city, but if there's a place for him to sleep, it's considered to be part of the city.
We talked about a kever before, a nefesh.
Yeah.
We're talking about for a Jewish mace. Because now we're mentioning
Avodah Zarah,
we're talking.
Make a difference. It should not make a difference as long as it's a Beis Dira. Rashi says each time it's not the Keva which is Kaveh and it's not the Nefesh, it's the Beis Dira. It's got to be a Beis Dira. And continues the Gemara, Viha Urvis. Urvis means a stable. We have that in Megillah, Legabe Vashti made fun of Achashverosh and said, oh, you were the stableman of my Baman Tata, by Nebuchadnezzar, by the Zayda, whatever. V'Urvis V'Oitzrois. Oitzrois means treasures, not treasure houses, storage houses, like of warehouses. Shebes Sodois. V'yesh ben Beis Dira. Oh, Nochma, but it has to have a Beis Dira. It's not enough that you fill it up with Tzvua and fill it up with all types of fruits and vegetables. It's got a Beis Dira. V'Burgen and Shebes Soicha. Burgen means also such guard houses inside a field. V'abayis shebiyam. The Musai says abayis shebiyam. Rashi says it means be'iyei hayam betuich ayin amav shirayim le'ir. In other words, your city happens to be near the shore. It's on riverside. It's on the side of the river, Riverside Drive. And within, you look into the Hudson, you see small little inzlach. Inzlach means like an island. Roosevelt Island, etc. If there happens to be an island which is within 72/3 of the city, then that is again counted as part of the city, but it's got to be a bayis shebiyam. The fact that you have an island there, if it's an island which is empty, is gunish. If there's a Beis Dira there, then extends the tchum further until after that island, after that house.
Beis chaim shouldn't be also, what do you call it? What do you call it? No.
I'm sorry, what's again? What's up there?
Beis chaim.
Beis chaim, yeah.
Shouldn't be also, what do you call it?
Israel. Yeah, we shouldn't use it.
Like
we, shouldn't use. We are measuring beyond it. We're not using it. Any Beis Dira is considered part of the city for purposes of measuring the 2,000 Amos. It makes no difference who's living there, whether they're Jews, whether they're Galochim, Lahavdil, even if they're animals. Orvis. Orvis means stables. So even if you have Behemoths and Chayas, that's also living quarters for the Behemoths, and that's also part of the city.
Your Rakon's point is that you have a bias of Avodah Zarah, and the Tchum is being extended, so you're having Hanah, as it were, because you have a Beis Dira. Isn't that a contradiction?
So what do you think? Do you think it is a contradiction or not?
It feels like you're benefiting.
You're benefiting from it. It's a benefit. Grada, the Sfora is not totally krum. Back in the Gemara before, we spoke about the Gabe, if a person put his truma down, he made his Erev inside a Beis HaChaim by a Kever. Right. So we had a machloikis whether that would be effective. He can't get to it anyway. If it's a coin, it's truma. So you might say, go Beshita Teva Migdal. That's talking about in a case that it was not Mukshal Kabal Tuma. Imar gave a whole bunch of scenarios. So what was the machloikis? Imar says that the machloikis is, since the Kever where the food item is lying is a chosibano. Could we learn shum from Miriam that anything having to do with tachrichim and kever and a mess, everything is osibano. So how can I have the heter of using the the matzeva or the kever as the base where I'm putting my erev. Sigmar has said, it goes according to Maniyama that holds that the only reason you're allowed to make an erev is only ledvar mitzvah, not stal ledvar reshus, ledvar mitzvah, and because mitzvah is lav lehevin nitno, so even though it's also about no, but I'm not having a no, mitzvah lav lehenes nitno. So here too, the mitzvah lav lehenes nitno walking and using this tchum, this nishka ha no, this ha mitzvah, it's ha mitzvah lav lehenes nitno.
Not having an offer from the Vedizor, I'm having an offer from the Koimrim. They don't have a din of Vedizor about.
I see you saying you don't have the Kasha Heitzel Nishon. Yeah. All right, it's not even from the Koimrim. It's from the room where the Koimrim was sleeping, whatever the room happens to be. Okay, anyway, continuing on. Howdy, Elam, Esabram, Imma, all of these are considered to be part of the Tchum, and you only start your Tchum after. The Mesabram means we extend the Tchum to after this Tumma, or to after this island, to after this stable, to after the warehouse, as long as you have a base deer. Ve'elu she'en Mesabram, what about those that don't? Oh, nefesh, shenifritza mishtei ruchaysa. You had such as a oyul alames, where it was originally taka four walls, but now it only has two walls left. So he came as a hurricane and two walls came tumbling down. It doesn't say, by the way, whether or not there was or was not a tikra, whether there's still a ceiling. We're going to talk about that shortly. Anyways, the two sides came falling down, but the two sides which are still standing. If there's no base tira b'chlal. Or basically, she'ain't lo beis tir lechaz, and the Shamas has nowhere to sleep. Or basically, v'yitchum she'ain't lo beis tir lekamrim, or there's no place for the galochim to sleep. Or v'orvis v'oitzah shebesod she'ain't lo beis tira. Ubar v'siachu ma'ara v'geder v'shoyvach shebesoyicha uva'bayis shebesvina. All of these ain elu misabrim ima. What's the case of the bayis shebesvina? Rashi says a bayis shebesvina means that there are living quarters within a ship or within a boat, and the reason why it's not included is, says Rashi, because often it's on the move. It's not parked there next to the city, unlike the island, the Iyayam, which don't move. However, the Svina will constantly coming and going. So therefore, you cannot go and measure that as part of the city limits because it's mobile by definition. Could be that today, the Gemara, of course, doesn't deal with that because he didn't have mobile homes. The Gemara will talk a little bit afterwards about ramshackle huts. We'll talk about that shortly. But today, of course, you have people that live in trailers and such mobile homes. Would those be considered part of the city limits? The Chayda, no. Because now it's there, but tomorrow he'll drive off and it'll be somewhere else. So the Chayda, that's the same thing the Bayesh Mesina. Ain Eilu Mesabim Ima. Okay. Now why did we bring this whole long Braisa? Because we want to be pushed to Shaila. We asked the Shaila, Shtei Mechitza Yeshlan and Tikra, Mahu. If you only have two walls, but there's a Tikra, what's the status? Ketani Mias Nefesh and Nivritza Mishtei Ruchisa Eilach Ve'Eilach. And it says that it's Ain Eilu Mesabim Ima. We don't use that as part of the Ibor to go make the lines, my love, the ikatikra. Isn't it talking about that although two walls fell down, l'choira, the tikra is still intact, because otherwise maybe the Bais would have said the two walls and the tikra fell down. And therefore I can bring a raya that if you have two walls with the tikra, that it's not included for purposes of calculating and starting your imaginary lines for the 2,000 amis. There's a lie. To lek a tikra, it doesn't have a tikra. There are only two walls, no three and four walls, no tikra at all. No, Ibazai is goodish. Einachanami, if it had two walls, mita tikra, efshiya. So the Gemara wasn't poishit shayla. Good. So the Gemara right. Bayishabiyam lamai chasi. We spoke about that there's a house there on the island outside, and we include that as part of the Tchumair. The Gemara wants to know, what was that house used for on that island? In other words, the guy doesn't have a lot of company if it's only one house on an island. So what's the purpose of that whole house? The Gemara gives it a very practical use for that house, that when the house would, not the house, when ships would come to dock, and they would come into port, they had to go and put the freight somewhere. Not all the time would the balabatim be there to pick up the freight immediately. They had to store it. Maybe also the customs wanted to go and charge for the freight. So the point is, that house was used not only for living quarters, but is also used for the administrative purposes, that people would go and store some of the freight there, lefanes bekelim, to unload the freight from the sfina and deposit it there in that bayis shabia. And then we said also that if you have a bar siachu ma'ara, it's also not. You're telling me a Mara. Mara means like either a cave or a tunnel. That's not part of the Ibur of the city. That if you have such a subterranean tunnel or you have a cave, that is also part of the city limit. It's not just that there's a ma'ara down below, but to get to the ma'ara, there was a building on top of it from which you went down into the basement and deeper, and you made a cave, made a tunnel, but there was a building on top. So therefore, that building is included. So forget about the ma'ara. If there's a binyan on top, the binyan is included. So what's the chiddush? It's like that the binyan on top was a small binyan, because nobody lived on top. Just that binyan was just the entrance way to go down into the ma'ara. You want to know where the ma'ara is? If you don't see the ma'ara, it's subterranean, it's below the surface. So there was a small little butkul, a small little house, a hut, and said, this is the opening to the ma'ara. So this little house altogether, says Rashi, was less than 4x4. However, if you have the ma'ara down below, once you combine the two, then it was, of course, much, much larger, because people perhaps even live down there, and they steer down below. So such a ma'ara in the Sefer Sima, if you have the binyan on top with the ma'ara down below, the two together are mashlum. But if you only have the ma'ara down below without a binyan on top, gunish vet. Amravut yoishvei tzarifin eimoyden lehen ela mi pesach batein. If you have people that live in tzarifin, what means people live in tzarifin? Says Rashi, these are what we would call nomads, people that were going from place to place. It's like they have an Eretz Yisrael, they have the Bedouins, which are constantly going from place to place. So now, what happens if they're living in one of these tzarifin for Shabbos? Even if the tzarifin are not far from the neighboring city, you only count 2,000 amas from the doorway, the entranceway to their homes. Because it's not considered to be a real proper structure that we should give them the benefit of a city. You look at each one. For instance, if you have 10 or 20 tzarifin all together, I might say, okay, we have like as a city. Yeah, he had that.
With the travelers earlier in the Masechta.
Yeah, even before, even after that, if you remember. You have about a year ago, to be in Agamtsa, the other demonstrations in Thompson Park, you had Agamtsa Shtut.
Occupy Wall Street.
So they had a whole bunch of tzarifin, as a Gishtink and all the rest. They had a whole bunch of these ramshackle huts all together in one place. So what happens if this were not on Wall Street, but we outside of the city limits? So you might think, so you go and count from the most outer tzrif, because it's Agantze Shtot Befnei Atzmai. No, Kamashulon, each tzrif is Eim Lemen Pesach Matei, and you go and count the 2,000 from his house, you don't give it the status of a city. Moser V'chizor, V'chizgifreit, V'yachno Aliyadin, Beis HaYishimois, that they went and they had chanoya. Chanoya means that they encamped and they had their tents and they were living next to the Yarim Beis Yishimois. And the pasuk continues on ad ovel hashitim ba'arvis moyev. So therefore, this was a long camp, started all the way from Beis Yishimois, going all the way down to ovel hashitim. The Yom Rabbah Bochana, the Di Chazal Yahu Asra. I was once there, and it was very Rabbi Tlosa Parsi or Tlosa Parsi. It was 3 Parsi by 3 Parsi, 9 Parsi squared. 3x3. Now we know parsa is much, much more than 2,000 amas, because every parsa has it in 4 mil, and every mil is 2,000 amas. So therefore, we're talking about that this was 3 parsa, which means 3 times 4 mil, 12 mil, each mil being 2,000 amas. It's 12 times 2,000, 24,000 amas. Betanya, kishahi nifnin, when they had to excuse themselves, in other words, to use the facilities, ain nifnin loy lifnein, they were not allowed to go ahead, v'loy litzidein, not to the side, el achrein, but only to the back. Well, what's going on? Why not to the front and not to the side, but the back? Explains Rashi, because any minute they could all be called up to start moving, and if they're going to start moving, it's going to be a pi Hashem yachnu. They're going to go. They have the benefit of the onon, anan yoimam, anan laila, etc., where the shechina is. Therefore, we don't want to be nifna in a place where potentially, in a moment, the shechina is going to be there. It's going to lead Klai Yisrael either to the front or to the side. However, the shechina never took them backwards, so you don't have to worry about going be nifna to the back, because the shechina already left there. It's not going to come back again, so to speak, in the sojourneys. So if we want to relieve yourself, not to the front, not to the side, but you can go to the back. Okay, so now the point is, how much is the person traveling to get to the back? If he lives all the way in the front, he's going up to 3 parsois till he gets to the back. Hopefully he can hold in long enough till he gets to the back. But the point is, that's much more than 2,000 amis. And we're assuming that when they were living in the Midbar, they didn't go and build up beautiful structures with bricks and mortar and cement. They were also ramshackle type of huts, which were yoishvei tzarifim, people that are constantly on the move, nomads, Bedouins that are moving from place to place to place.
Like Holland.
Exactly. So why did you say that they were able to walk the entire three parsa? L'chaim, they should only be able to go 2,000 amis in all directions from where their oihel was.
But they were moving. they're on the move.
And that's
we have a special heter for people on the move, right? We have the caravans.
Yeah, but it's not moichel. But now we're talking about Yoshev Tzrifin. Look at Rashi Yoshev Tzrifin. Rashi is about six lines in the back.
Bring him.
We're not talking about Pasi Brois now.
Don't bring a model from the people in the Midbar. Is that the same thing?
Okay, we're going to have a teretz, but we're not up to the teretz yet. If you look, seven lines in the bottom of the Omid, you see Rashi, the Yoshvit Tzrifin, Rashi says, Yoshvit Tzrifin Nami Anshi Miknehain, these are people that have Mikneh, the Choynim Boy Choydi Shechachayim, they are here for a month or two, Achikola Mira, the Behemoth, and Noizim Misham, they go weiter, they go Mokamacher, they're constantly nomads, they don't stay in a place more than a week, a month, 2 months, and afford weiter. So here, Klal Yisrael is also in the same sense, like nomads, because they didn't stay in one place, they were constantly on the move from one place to another place, another place. So Ayim Bazoi, they should have 2,000 Amis Mi Botayan, and here we're saying that they have the entire Machana from beginning. You don't add all the Machana together, you only have Mi Botayan. It's a Shver on this member of
the guy walked to the back with miles.
Exactly, he walked three Parsois, which is 12 times their 2,000 Amis. Amalei Rava Digli Midbar Kabi Yechfreit the Kash Digli Midbar Kim the Chsibah Pi Hashem Yachv Pi Hashem Yisol Kiman the Kvilu Udami. Even though the huts that they lived in, the tents that they lived in, were taka ramshackle, only temporary structures, but since the Kodesh Baruch Hu said that's where you got to live for the next 40 years, that gave them the sense of a permanence, that it became like a city as long as they were not on the move. When they were moving, they were moving, but when they were staying stationary, it was like a full city, because it was Pi Hashem Yachv Pi Hashem Yisol.
No, I think the pshat that when God tells you to stay in a place, even for a night, that's a permanence.
But
Hashem Yisburach told you.
Zayigit gesagt. The minimum for purposes of a city has to be that you have three chatzeres with two batim. In other words, six batim altogether. That's the minimum for a city. Yoshe Tzrifin and Holchim and Boris, as Rashi, are berach the same, that these are nomads that are traveling from one place to the other. Holchim and Boris means not that they're going for a tour or they're going for vacation, that means that's their life. They live in the desert and they're constantly moving on from oasis to oasis, they're constantly on the move. That's not a normal life. You have to live in somewhere stationary, not constantly being on the move. With the shame of Nehem and Chas Shalom, their wives and their kids may all be mamzeim enish lehen. We'll see in a moment why we say that. Tanem helchi takarai from a brisa aliyazi ish birai oim yoshe tzrifim ki yoshve kvarim. It's like people living in kvarim. What does that mean? Ki yoshve kvarim, says Rashi, they're like mesim, that they have no hanoah from this world, because although the tachlis in this world, of course, is to learn and to do mitzvahs and masen toivim, avada nevada, however, you still want to have epis abyssal hanoah to be able to live your normal, regular life. If a person lives in Tzrifim his entire life, says Rashi, he's always faced with the climate. It's always blowing, or it's pouring, or it's too hot, or it's too cold, because unfortunately he's exposed to the outside weather. So he never has a normal life. He constantly is going to the hospital because he has nebuch pneumonia and this and that, the other thing. So it's kiyoshvikvar. It's like living with behemoths, meaning that they could be all mamzeir. My timer, what's the reason why you have to assume that Chas Hashem de Mamzerim? Ula Oma She'en Lehen Merchat Tzoyiz, V'Yechan Oma Neshe Magishin Zeh Lezeh B'Tfila. What does that mean? Ein Lehen Merchat Tzoyiz is Rashi. Because of the fact that they are living in these ramshackle huts, constantly traveling from one place to the other, you didn't have Bote Merchat. Nowadays, we all, of course, have our own private tubs and showers
in
our house. But in the good old days, they didn't have that.
They had to travel far.
They had a public Beis HaMerchatz. Okay, so the person wanted to go to the Beis HaMerchatz. He wouldn't go every single day. It would be much too far. But he went, let's say, once a week or once a month. He went to the Groys of Beis HaMerchatz. And that was, let's say, 5 miles away, 10 miles away. When he went away, what did the women do at home? Unfortunately, they became susceptible to being enticed by other men in town, or vice versa, that they seduced other men in town. Chas v'shalom, they lived with other men whilst the husbands went to the Beis HaMerchatz. Rav Yochanan Amar, it could be the other way around. Not that the husbands went away, but the wives went away. Why the wives have to go? Because they had to go to the mikveh. They didn't have a mikveh everywhere in these Yoshev Midbars. In Midbar, of course, you don't have too many mikvahs.
Everything Jews.
So they had to go to Toivel.
Since
they had
to go. Jews like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole Gemara. The Gemara is saying Yoshev Tzrifin Chayim Enu Chayim and Hashem and Neim Enu Shalat.
I might have thought it's going about Goyim.
Goyim, but they live in the cities. It's Al Tzvam Zayim. Here we're talking. Nowadays, it's not a man with a woman. Now it's two men. It's two. Aron Zachal Mishigur. But anyway, getting back to the Gemara says that the Margish Betfila, what means Margish Betfila? So Rashi explains that if one woman has to go to the mikveh, she doesn't want to have to go all the way from her town far away, because the Chamahalach, so she goes and asks one of her friends, maybe you also have to go to the mikveh, say, oh, you're Taka. So Gnendel and Mindel, they go together, Sprinter, they go together to the mikveh. Now, since they're going to the mikveh, Sveta Bislakol, people here, two women go to the mikveh, and then a man hears about this, and therefore he follows them to the mikveh, and then he wants the Chas HaSholem go and be misyached with them. So in both cases, whether the man goes away or the woman goes away, there are potential problems. That's why we have to worry about potential mamzeit. The first reason, second reason, it's both the same thing that they're traveling. What happens if these nomads happen to go and settle next to a river? So what's the benefit of the river? Says Rashi, you can use the river for tefillah purposes, but you can't use the river for merchitz purposes. Probably wasn't so clean. And I would think you'd use the river also for merchitz, take along a piece of soap.
Cold, and the
mechutzah
would
it's too cold. We want to have schmitz.
Well, we have the mudasel.
Yeah, but we had back myself to Shabbos. We go on Shabbos. Yeah, is incorrect. Good. If a city that doesn't grow or sell vegetables, Talmud Chacham shouldn't live there. Why? Remember the Yerek Ma'aliyah? Are we suggesting the Yerek is a good nourishing food, and therefore the Talmud Chacham would want to have that nourishing food? There are three foods that only add to Zevel. In other words, you have to go to the bathroom more often, you have a lot of the Koivines Akoima, and they make the person, instead of going upright, the person goes bent over, and it takes away chasa from a person's sight. What are those three foods? Elohein, pas kibber is our black bread, v'sheichar and beer, v'sheichar chadosh, a new beer, the yerek and vegetables. See, some vegetables nishas not growing some mitzia. Chasa shalom cause these three problems. It depends what vegetables you're talking about. Are you talking about tumi v'karsi? Tumi is shum, which is garlic. Karsi is leek. Now, which one is better? Is this better or worse? So Rashi has two pshat. The first pshat says Rashi, Tumi v'karsi, loy mo'alu kach shemati, that these are not the good vegetables. These are the ones that are mar bezeva, and these are the ones that take away the sight, etc. But shai yirokas are good, says Rashi. But I, v'nir ba'ena, it's just the opposite. That shum and leek are taka good. Because we have other gemaras that said shum is mar bezezera, etc. But he's a Friday night, so therefore these are good things. Those are good things. He should live in a place taka with shumi v'karsi. But other yarki moichel, all the other vegetables. Give a sign like we'll learn it. Shum yerek. Shum is yerek. Shum means garlic has a status of good nourishing yerek vegetables. Kreishin, which is karsi, that's only chatzi yerek. It's not agamzi yerek. It's only 50% yerek. In other words, it doesn't have the same nourishing qualities like the shum. Niret noin, niret samchaim. If you see radishes in that community, in that place, then you know that's something which is healthy. In other words, that's a good potion, a good medicine. Thank you, Mari. You're telling me it's noin, radish is good, but tell anyone in the Brisa niret noin, niret samamavis, it's bad. So, when they kasha, kan ba'alan, kan b'imois. It depends if you're talking about the radishes themselves, are good. But the alan, which is sticking out the leaves, those are bad. Kan b'imois, kan b'imois, iksham. If it happens to be in the summer months, then they are good. But during the winter months, they are bad.
I didn't realize it.
Have a wonderful day.